I'm in Scandinavia, in the Åland Islands, well known to Swedes who recognise their blue, gold and red cross flag, but Britons are generally less familiar with these isles.
I spent 4 months in London, and when people asked me where I was from, I said, oh, I'm from the Åland Islands. Like, what, are you from Poland? No, I'm from the Åland Islands. Oh, Holland! No, I'm from the Åland Islands. And I said, well, it's like the Faroe Islands, only in the Baltic Sea.
Åland is spelt A with a circle over it, L-A-N-D. The islands are unique. They were part of Sweden's kingdom, but after a war in 1809, they gave up the islands and Finland to Russia. When Finland then became independent just over a century later, locals on Åland wanted to rejoin Sweden. Ålanders speak Swedish and not Finnish, so even though you're technically in Finland, locals don't like being called Finns.
They're very proud and they're very independent. We have our own flag, we have our own car plates, we have our own domain names, and we have a government on our own, but we are co-working with Finland. But a person from Åland would never call him or herself a Finland person. They would say, I'm from Åland.
And the islands have been recognised as a demilitarised area. It's quite odd seeing that on a sign when you arrive. It seems like you're stepping into a war zone, which of course you're not. It's important though, because Åland is in such a strategic position in the Baltic.
Facing Finland, Russia, Latvia, Sweden, that one that had Åland had the power.
You can fly to Åland, but the best way to arrive is by sea. Three of these Viking Line ferries sail each day from Stockholm to Mariehamn in Åland. Viking Grace is one of their newer ships, and it makes travel part of the holiday. This huge vessel can convey up to 500 cars and up to 2,800 passengers. They've got 7 restaurants, people are well fed, and there's a fixed price buffet, which is superb, with a massive choice of fish, meats and desserts. There's also entertainments, ranging from kids' discos to live lounge music. There's a sauna, a spa and a jacuzzi. Åland is a duty-free set of islands, and passengers can get VAT-free booze, as long as the ferry stops here, so the boats do a roaring trade in day trippers who sail straight back to Stockholm, having stocked up on spirits. The view as you sail along between the dozens of small islands in the Swedish and then the Åland archipelago is stunning. Some Åland islands are barren, some are thickly wooded. The highest hill reaches just 130 metres. Well, 5.5 hours after leaving Stockholm, I've arrived in Åland's capital of Mariehamn. It's understandably small.
29,000 people are living on these islands. And 60 of the smaller islands are inhabited, so people live there all year.
Mariehamn is pleasant and leafy, and you can see most of it in a few hours. There are some pretty impressive, brightly painted wooden villas, but there are a few historic sites. That's because the capital of Åland is relatively new.
The Russian emperor thought that the Åland Islands ought to have a city and founded Mariehamn in 1861 and named it after his wife, Maria Alexandrovna. That's the woman you can see on the statue in the park outside.
You'll find a couple of trendy craft and vintage shops on Mariehamn's short pedestrianised main street. Åland's modern parliament building stands at one end of a long plaza too, rounded off with a statue of a sheep and a fountain. Åland is really all about the water.
It's a small strip stuck between two sides of water. So on the west coast of Mariehamn will come the sailors from Sweden, and on the east coast will come the sailors from Finland. And they just need to walk in between the two. It's less than a kilometre.
Most of Åland's shoreline is rocky and lined with pine trees, but there is a small beach on an island called Liljeholm, just a few minutes from Mariehamn. You reach it by walking over a gated footbridge. Then, after a short stroll through the woods, you'll find a tiny stretch of golden sands leading onto a wooden jetty where kids love to jump into the clear, refreshing waters of the Baltic. Back in the woods behind, there's a free aviary to discover, filled with colourful finches, parakeets and uncommunicative parrots.
Hey.
Which I'm told is Swedish for hello.
I headed to Mariehamn's favourite place to eat. There's a cluster of hip bars and restaurants on one city centre block. Indigo is one of them. It offers a cosy formal dining space in a historic stone building. And they've also got a more casual outdoor eating area, where I met the owner, Stig Grunland, and admired his impressive retractable metal roof. weather changes quite quickly.
Yeah, that's true. But when it's windy and it started to rain, you don't want to sit outside, so we can close the roof and it gets really cozy outside.
Indigo has been included in the prestigious White Guide Nordic Pages restaurant review, and that shows the island's quality of food is being recognised.
And during the summer, there are a lot of boats and a lot of tourists here, so they expect high-end both food and drinks and wine.
I was keen to discover uniquely Åland cuisine, and Stig says Indigo offers a tasty fishy dish.
Toskagen, that's like a bread that you fry in butter and build shrimps with that you mix with some mayonnaise, some dill, some red onion, salt and pepper. And you serve that just with a roe. Sometimes we have some smoked shrimps as well on the top, and a small salad and some lemon.
You'll also find herring, cod, perch, whitefish and pike on menus here. Stig also suggested that I try the island's signature dish, and I made a mental note to try and find a cafe serving the Åland's pancake. Åland has two breweries, but the benefits of duty-free status are offset by the cost of living in Scandinavia. A small bottle of beer will set you back around €9 in a bar. Eek. Recently, islanders have been experimenting with champagne.
In 2010, some divers found a shipwreck outside the island of Fögle in the Åland archipelago. When they went down to the ship, they found that it held over 100 bottles of French champagne. When they brought it up, they discovered it was from Veuve Clicquot. It turned out that the champagne was perfectly drinkable, since it had been stored under constant pressure in darkness and constant temperature. Two bottles were auctioned off for around, I think they went for between 30 and 40,000 euros, and the rest remain in a hidden location owned by the government of the Åland Islands, and only a few persons know where they keep it. They discovered that it had been maturing much more slowly down in the seabed and had a different taste from the ones that had been stored up on land.
I stayed in Mariehamn's Park Ålandia Hotel, which is centrally positioned on the wide tree-lined boulevard linking the town centre to the ferry port. The accommodation was built in the 70s by the Viking Line ferry. Recently, it was bought and renovated by Zaida Blomsterlund and her husband.
1st of April, the first guests checked in to the new rooms.
It's a clean and friendly hotel with a restaurant, pool and pub on site.
In the pub, we have live music Wednesday to Saturday, year-round.
Zaida is happy to offer travel tips.
You could borrow our bikes and have a ride out to Järsö, and then you will really come close to the water. And they have a lovely cafe with cakes and lighter lunches. She's offering also her knitted crafts.
So I've taken that advice and I've borrowed one of the hotel's bikes. They're free for guests to loan. And I'm heading off on the 13-kilometre trek to the cafe. And I have to say, Åland is a great place to go on a cycling holiday because the islands are relatively flat. And also, drivers are really considerate when it comes to cyclists. You'll find that in the main town, there are cycle paths, and when one of those routes has to cross a road intersection, drivers are really considerate and courteous. They'll let you through, they'll wait for you, as you might a pedestrian at home. Car has just gone past, but I've hardly seen any as I've been cycling along. You see more cyclists, and it's nice. There's a sense of camaraderie. You get a friendly wave or a ring on the bicycle bell as they approach you. And it's a beautiful journey as well. You're travelling down, cycling down a red tarmacked road through an archipelago of islands across small bridges. And as the waters reach the side of the road, you'll see plenty of sailing activity. And there's some beautiful rolling countryside and pine forest that you cycle through. Hardly any buildings here as well. It's you, the scenery and nature. And the small villages that you do see on the route are basically a cluster of red wooden cottages, the colour of apples. It's beautiful. Well, I've just been taken in by advertising and I'm making a 1 kilometre detour down the lane because I've seen a sign promoting Åland pancake and coffee for €5. And you might remember that Stig told me I had to try it while I was on the islands.
It's like an oven pancake. It's an old traditional dish, and that's served at almost all the cafes here. You should have it with some whipped cream and some raspberry jam or something.
It was really nice, but not what I had expected. I thought the pancake was going to be the sort that Americans would serve with maple syrup. Instead, though, it was a square piece of cake, quite moist, almost like a tart, with a kind of an egg custard meat sponge consistency, if you can imagine that. And it had a very strong taste of cardamom, like an Indian dessert. Well, next, we'll check out Orland's historic sites and learn about the locals' illegal money and check out some rare pirate paraphernalia in their award-winning Maritime Museum.
So we are actually Finland's best museum.
Archipelago in the Baltic. It's Finnish soil, but many islanders prefer their Swedish connections.
Åland is like a small country of its own, even though we belong to Finland. We speak Swedish. We're somewhat more like the Swedes, but a little Finnish.
The islands seem to have a higher degree of self-governance away from Finland than Scotland has within the UK. Locals annoyed Finnish officials back in 91, when islanders launched their own currency without permission.
We got forbidden by the Finnish government and we had to discontinue it. We've done a lot of things to upset the Finnish government, and I think it's part of the identity of the Åland islanders to be a bit stubborn and do it their own way.
I left Mariehamn and took the bus for a 50-minute journey through beautiful rolling green fields and apple orchards to the small community of Geta. Buses are quite infrequent in Åland and they don't always run at weekends, so you do have to plan ahead. Bitty Islander from Hasfjorden Resort met me at my bus stop.
Hi, Gary. Most welcome to Åland. I hope you had a nice trip coming on the beautiful firs here. We're going through the woods for 8 kilometres.
As Bitty drove, the tarmac gave way to a pink gravel track, and I could see the water of the Baltic ahead, slightly green in hue from the reflection of the pines running down to the side of the ocean. Hidden away is the resort, a collection of mainly single-storey, angular grey wood and glass buildings, modern Scandinavian architecture, its very grand designs off the telly. The buildings are set between boulders and trees around a small cove, with its cliffs formed from the pink granite rock, which slides down the hillside in flat blocks. It looks like it's been poured and it's set hard. I sat on the wooden decking of the small yacht marina looking back at the hotel and the units up on the hillside. The water was so clear.
We have 2.2 kilometres of rocky shore and an open sea in front of us.
It's just you and a handful of guests in this secluded part of the island.
People come here because of the uniqueness of the nature, the colours, because the red cliffs and the open sea, it's like a picture book in a way, and the whole concept of being someone, a place which is so different from anything else.
And in summer, the days are long with sunset after 11 p.m. In fact, it never really gets dark. The sun comes up about 4 in the morning, so there's plenty of time to spot deer, moose, or even raccoon dogs.
We would call it a mårdhund. It's quite cute.
Ålanders do share one interest with the Finns. They love saunas.
Every household has their own sauna, yes.
Lottie Grunland told me that most islanders do immerse themselves in the 80 Celsius heat in the evenings.
After or before dinner.
Is it a social thing? Do you go with other people?
Yes, definitely. And also a tradition with the family.
And the resort offers a choice of saunas.
We have the original wooden heated sauna. And that one we have in all the cottages and also in our pool house. And then we have the really old smoke sauna, which is heated for 10 hours. There is no chimney, so the smoke stays in, and then you open the door and keep it open for a couple of hours, and then it's ready to go. You throw some water on some hot stones that have been upon the stove for many hours. You get more humidity in the room and the steam.
You have some birch branches. What do you do with them?
You just smash them on your body. I don't think they really have any kind of effect, but it's more of a tradition.
So how long do people remain in a sauna?
1 hour or a couple, but you go outside once in a while to take a swim in the lake or take a short shower or something, and then you go back in.
I think it'll last about 2 minutes in here. It's absolutely sweltering.
And once you've finished in the sauna, you can relax in the hot tub. It's on decking at the top of the hill, looking out over the sea and the marina below. I could sit here all day.
just unwind, relax. Most of our guests here want to come here by doing nothing.
Harsviden offer hotel rooms or self-catering villas. It's open from March to November. People have lived here for 7,500 years, and Åland's excellent Cultural History Museum tells the island's story back to the Stone Age and then the Viking days.
The one place in Finland which actually had Vikings, they came of course from Sweden, Norway, Britain, Denmark, not the Finnish mainland. We have quite a lot of swords and spearheads, and also a great pin which was used to pin your clothes together, and that's probably from Ireland or Scotland.
Tour guide Matilda Eriksson showed me around the collection of traditional costumes on display. Each Åland village had its own distinctive clothing.
And each municipality has its own unique features and patterns and colours.
When you bike, bus or drive around Åland, you'll notice large wooden maypoles decorated with colourful fabrics and ornaments.
Wreaths with coloured ribbons and often boats and other things that ought to bring good luck for the coming year and to secure the harvest and celebrate the light summer nights and the light coming back to Nordic countries.
A 16-mile bus ride from the capital is the Jan Karlsgaden Open-Air Museum. It's a collection of red wooden buildings recreating rural life in Åland in the late 1800s. There are three red wooden windmills looking down across the village from the top of a granite outcrop. And next door is the island's most historic site, the Kastellholm. This red stone fortress is tall, square and narrow. It looks more like the cross between the British woolen mill and a Scottish castle.
If you look at the tower, you see that it's square. This is one of the things that actually sets it apart from the rest of the castles from this time. Most towers are round to be able to deflect cannonballs and catapults.
The castle stands alongside a tidal inlet. It was once an island, but the waters have since receded. Guides dressed in medieval clothing lead you around.
I am P.O. Berglund. I'm the sheriff of Kastellholm, and I've been here for 700 years.
The castle's first referred to in 1388. It was thought it was built 50 years earlier.
Many people think that it's here to defend the Åland Islands. It's just here to keep the tax money safe for the sheriff.
The castle was also used as a place where women accused of witchcraft were incarcerated in the 17th century. And you learn a lot about that dark period.
The witches were said to fly on their broomsticks to a place called Brocken, where they met the devil and other witches and held secret meetings. Witches were identifiable because they had birthmarks or scars, which were signs of the pact they'd agreed with the devil. And the marks weren't painful even if you stuck a nail into them. So as part of the witch trials, they had the so-called nail test. If the accused couldn't feel pain when the nail was struck, she was obviously a witch. Witches who transformed themselves into animals at night were thought to steal away small children and take them to a special devil's banquet at Brocken, where the kids were cooked and served up. The leftovers were used for a special evil magic ointment. It's the sort of stuff of childhood nightmares, isn't it?
It might look small on the outside, but it's a big museum.
Back in town, Åland's Maritime Museum, next to the ferry terminal, is the island's most visited attraction and is highly regarded.
Last year we were awarded Museum of the Year in Finland, so we are actually Finland's best museum.
Åland's shipping industry started in the 1830s. There was a need for timber from the Baltic. Islanders from all backgrounds benefited financially from the shares they held in ships. They were offered as payment to workers for their labour. In an interactive display, you can follow ships around the world on a map which plots the routes they would have taken. Some Åland mariners won competitions for their speed in sailing.
There was always a race from Australia to the UK, which ship could sail in the fewest number of days.
In the museum, you can inspect the actual captain's quarters of one of those ships.
One of the highlights.
We crouched down to enter the doorway of the reconstructed cabin of the Hazoghan Cecile. It was wrecked in fog in Salcombe in Devon.
So they just salvaged the entire saloon?
Yeah. And all the sails and the rigging, everything was taken home, and partly because they insured the cargo but not the ship. everything on board was still owned by the ship owner. This was in 1936, and the year before, in 1935, the Åland Nautical Club was founded with the purpose of building a maritime museum. So when this museum was planned, the saloon was planned to fit in. So this was like the starting point of the museum, if you like.
The wooden panelled quarters were rather large and plush. The captain could unwind on a purple velvet day bed.
And then he had his, the pantry was over here, so the steward could bring out the meals and drinks for him.
You can also see how regular sailors lived. It wasn't so luxurious when he entered the reconstructed sleeping quarters of another vessel.
Still, they had their own berths.
So this is still an actual foxhole of an old ship.
This is called the Helmi.
It's not that comfortable, is it?
No, relatively, compared to just a hammock somewhere. But they were quite young, some of the sailors who sailed on these ships. Many started at 10.
The museum's team has also erected a 10-metre mast and rigging, so you can test your climbing and seamanship skills. Hannah darted up the ropes to show how it's done.
Swedish prince here a few years ago, and I actually climbed up in a dress and high heels.
And the powerful 20-foot-high pea-green steam engine should impress too. It was originally used in Bristol's dock lock gates and spent time in Rotterdam.
It's quite beautiful the way it moves as well. You can see the movements of the shafts.
My favourite exhibit, though, was the genuine Jolly Roger.
So this is a pirate's flag. There are two in the world.
There are only two in the world?
Yeah, that we know of, that actually are authenticated.
You so often see the skull and crossbones in the movies.
It used to be black, but it's faded with age. This comes from the Mediterranean, so it's a late 18th century.
Going back to 1994 now, and 853 people drowned when the Estonia ferry boat sank in bad weather off these islands. You can read locals' accounts of this horrific event here in the museum. Hannah Hagmark Cooper says the museum does try to tackle this issue sensitively.
The rescue operation was centred around here, and a lot of people were flown into the hospital here. And more than anything, it sort of shook us into some kind of realisation that even here, accidents happen. The sea is still much more powerful than we are.
If you've dreamt of a destination where you can experience wildlife and beautiful scenery away from crowds by day, but you want to return to comfort, fine food and Scandinavian orderliness at night, Åland might be right for you.
There is something special with islands. This is a beautiful little set of islands. Time has really stopped here. It's extremely safe. If I tell you to go to the airport and you can check all the front tyres, there will be a key on each and every tyre.
You can learn more about the accommodation at Harsfidden and Park Ålandia on the official tourist board website. Visit åland.com.
The Great Destinations Radio Show.